Blog Talk Radio.
Morning, Internet world. Welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and once again, I want to say thank you so much for taking time out of your busy life to join me today on my radio broadcast. Today is Tuesday, May 31st, 2022. I'll get that out. No problem. Usually, the broadcast is on Mondays and Thursdays every week. But because yesterday, Memorial Day, I had to work, wasn't able to do the broadcast at the normal time, so I had to switch it just this week for Tuesday. But I'm very excited to come to you today because I want to continue on a small series, I guess a short series, for lack of a better term, that I began last week talking about the New World Order, and the Great Reset. There was a lot of information coming at you in that half an hour and in the podcast. And so I did a little more research, and I came across another article which really details this much better than the last one with more detail. And what I want to do and accomplish on today's program is I want to take you step by step from the prophetic scriptures, especially the book of Daniel, outlining how this new world order will emerge in the future, fully emerge from the revived Roman Empire, and will take the elements of the Great Reset that we're going to talk about today. It will become full-blown. It will become the one world government that will be ruled by the Antichrist. Now, as I have said continuously on this broadcast, we need to educate people about this, fully warn them, because I believe the Bible is very specific, very accurate when it tells us that we as this generation will not witness that event because we will be raptured or taken away out of this planet before the Great Tribulation period begins, that seven-year period, which will culminate in this one-world government. But it's important that this is taught accurately and so that we are informed now. There's going to be those people that will be left behind. You've heard this millions of times, but we have to say it again, that will need to understand this system so that they will not bow their knee to a false one-world, new-world-order government ruled by the Antichrist. So I want to take some time this morning from a website that I got this article from, Evidence to Believe, The Truth Shall Set You Free. They did an excellent job putting together all the elements of this particular system that is going to emerge in the near future, but we see already the elements of it now. but it's going to become, as I said, full-blown. A new world order has been talked about for hundreds of years, I suppose, and just more recently by President Joe Biden. So we need to take a serious look at what this all means. But I want to start with the book of Daniel, which I didn't explain fully on the last broadcast, but I'm going to do it now. Our starting point for understanding the New World Order and the Great Reset is found in Daniel chapter 2 and Daniel's vision of world history. Now, Babylon has captured the Jewish people. They're in exile. They are captive in Babylon. Daniel chapter 2 records King Nebuchadnezzar, the pagan king, he had a dream. It really troubled him. So he summons all the great musicians of the kingdom to tell him, what was this dream I had? I forgot it. What did it mean? Well, the only problem was that none of the musicians and the sorcerers could tell the king what his dream was and what it meant. So he was angry. He issued a decree to slay all the magicians and sorcerers because they could not make known to him his dream. On a side note, astrologers, soothsayers, tarot card readers, they don't have the knowledge, but this Hebrew prophet did. Daniel went back to his friends. He told the king, look, give me some time. Don't slay me and the wise men. I'm going to go and I'm going to consult with my friends and we're going to pray and ask for God to reveal your dream, King Nebuchadnezzar. So Daniel chapter 2 verse 18 talks about them getting together, that they don't want to perish with the rest of the men of Babylon. And God did a miraculous thing as they met together and prayed. Daniel chapter 2, verses 19 and 22. Then the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. He reveals the deep and secret things. He's in control of all world events. Well, what was it that the king's dream was all about, and what did it mean? Well, the king's dream talked about three world kingdoms and a fourth kingdom that is unlike all of the other kingdoms. In Daniel chapter 2, verses 36 through 45, Daniel explained the meaning of this dream to Nebuchadnezzar. He pointed out that history would be dominated by four powerful kingdoms that would rule the world until they were destroyed by the fifth and final kingdom, and that is God's kingdom. This is what Daniel said to the king. O king, thou saw and behold a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. The image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. You saw that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver and the gold broken to pieces together and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Well, what are we talking about here? The king had this vision of a man whose head was gold, and arms of silver, belly and thighs of brass, legs of iron, and feet of part iron and part clay. Daniel then proceeds to tell the king the interpretation of the dream, that this man and his composite parts represent the various world systems which will come upon the earth. Daniel chapter 2, verses 38 through 40. Thou king of Babylon art this head of gold. And after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be as strong as iron, for as much as iron breaks in pieces and subdues all things, and as iron that breaks all these shall it break in pieces and bruise. Well, now, based upon the symbolism in historical analysts, here are the four kingdoms Daniel was speaking about. Number one, Babylon, 612 to 539 BC. It's represented by the head of gold. You see that here in chapter 2, back in chapter 2, but a foreword in the book of Daniel, chapter 7, verse 4, Babylon is then symbolized as a lion having wings of an eagle. That's the first kingdom that Daniel shares with the king. The second one is Medo-Persia, represented by the upper body of silver, in verse 32. And in chapter 7, it's represented by a bear. The third kingdom is Greece, represented by the belly and thighs made of bronze, in verse 32. And in chapter 7, verse 6, Greece is represented by a leopard with four wings and four heads. Now, the final kingdom is where everything I'm going to talk to you about today comes from. The fourth kingdom was Rome. It is unlike the first ones. It surfaces in two phases. The first phase of this kingdom is represented by the legs of iron, verse 33, and an unspecified beast with iron teeth and bronze claws in chapter 7, verse 7. This was the fierce Roman Empire, which dominated the known world for hundreds of years and was in power during the time of Jesus' birth, his death, and resurrection. It's important to note that the Roman Empire was never conquered, but it split in two and laid the foundation for Western civilization. The final phase is a revived Roman Empire, or the New World Order, which we're talking about, which will come on the world scene in the days leading up to the end times. It is described as feet and toes that are a mixture of iron and clay, verses 41 through 43, as well as the 10 horns, or 10 kings, and another that we find in chapter 7, verses 24 through 25. Now, Daniel chapter 7, verses 23 through 25 explains more about this fourth kingdom, which is diverse from all the previous ones. Then he said, the fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom on the earth, which shall be different from all other kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, trample it, and break it in pieces. The 10 horns, or 10 kings, who shall rise from this kingdom, and another shall rise after them. He shall be different from the first one, and shall subdue three kings. He shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change times and law. Then the saints will be given unto his hand for a time and times and half a time. The first three kingdoms and the first phase of the fourth kingdom are all in the past. They're done. Daniel chapter 7 speaks of the rise of a ten-horned phase of the fourth kingdom, which represents the Antichrist kingdom during the tribulation period. This fourth kingdom is the confederacy of nations, some weak and some strong, represented in this great image by the feet of part iron and part clay. So this image of the great statue, which the king had in his dream, is a view of the whole of world history, showing the ruling kingdoms of the earth. And folks, we are living in the time of the feet of this image. Now, taking advantage of the foundations that have been laid over the past 100 years in terms of the United Nations, the World Economic Forum, the World Banking System, the support of world trading and economic systems, and now the opportunity, of course, that was provided by COVID-19, the Confederacy of Nations about to unite through a great reset and bring in a new world order. I said all of that to say this is that final phase of the fourth kingdom, the final world system, which is a confederacy of nations. And I just explained that to you in Daniel chapter 7, verse 7. After this, I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. Now the legs of iron, going back to this image, symbolized the world rule of Rome. Of course, was known for its legions and its rules of an iron fist, which matches the iron teeth on the beast and the iron legs on the statue. But notice that this beast was diverse from all others. In what way? While the other kingdoms were military and political world powers, Rome became a religious political power, and that really happened when Constantine declared Christianity as the official state religion. Now notice also that this beast had 10 horns. When Rome fell in 476 AD, it split into the 10 kingdoms of Europe. The final manifestation of the fourth kingdom will be a confederacy, a world confederacy of 10 nations that is symbolized by the feet of the statue Daniel beheld, some strong, the iron toes, and some weak, the clay toes. Out of this united nations, this confederacy, will come one world leader that the people will look to bring peace. He will bring peace and order in an increasingly troubled and chaotic world. This will be none other than the son of perdition, the Antichrist. Now, what are the timeline of events leading up to this coming new world order? Wow, there's so much here. It's been evolving rapidly over the last 100 years in global events, and it's culminated here with the COVID crisis. Back in 1913, the Federal Reserve is created. It was planned at a secret meeting in 1910 on Jekyll Island, Georgia, by a group of bankers and politicians. This transferred the power to create money from the American government to a private group of bankers. That was the Federal Reserve. This is the events leading up to this new world order. Then in 1914, World War I happens after the assassination of Archduke Francis Ferdinand of Austria. In 1916, you had the League of Nations proposed in a speech before the League to enforce peace, a world needed to prevent the reoccurrence of a similar war with a world government. In 1932, new books are published urging new world order towards Soviet America. And so there are these books that become published novels, and the attempt to create this new world order began before World War II. In 1939, New World Order by famous author H.G. Wells proposes a collectivist one-world state, or a new world order, comprised of socialist democracies. H.G. Wells advocates universal conscription for service and declares that nationalist individualism is the world's disease. In other words, you and I don't have any rights under this system. In 1945, the United Nations Charter becomes effective. And so we see this emerging. In 1950, the Senate Foreign Relations Subcommittee introduces Senate Concurrent Relations 66, which begins, "Where is, in order to achieve universal peace and justice, the present charter of the United Nations should be changed to provide a true world government constitution." In 1973, we see the emergence of a trilateral commission. In 1990, President Bush calls the Gulf War an opportunity for the new world order in an address to Congress entitled "Toward a New World Order." And President Bush says the crisis in the Persian Gulf offers a rare opportunity to move toward an historic period of cooperation. Out of these troubled times, a new world order can emerge in which the nations of the world, east and west, north and south, can prosper and live in harmony. Today, the new world is struggling to be born. In 1992, we have the 10-nation reorganization plan in Western Europe. In February of 2003, the first reported cases of SARS. A massive media blitz attempts to create a pandemic, but by May 2003, only 600 people worldwide had died. Then, in December 2019, COVID-19 begins to spread across the world, of course, emanating from Wuhan, China. While the media jumps on the epidemic and begins to spread panic, governments around the world lock down, confining residents to their homes and creating a global economic crisis. While the coronavirus succeeds in killing thousands, millions are thrown out of work. Suicide skyrockets and demonstrations spread across the world. And then, in June of 2020, the World Economic Forum releases its proposal and plan for a great reset, intending to re-leverage the opportunity provided by the COVID-19 pandemic to create a one world order. That great reset is preparing the way for the new world order. That is what Justin Trudeau told the United Nations in September 2020. This pandemic has provided an opportunity for a reset. This is our chance to accelerate our pre-pandemic efforts to reimagine economic systems that actually address global challenges like extreme poverty, inequality, and climate change. This is our chance, seizing upon the pandemic. Now, this is very interesting because Biden's election, the stolen election, I believe, was needed to clear the way for the Great Reset. A Trump re-election would have been a problem for the Great Reset. And so the single greatest roadblock to globalism has been Donald Trump. With Donald Trump now waiting in the wings to become president again, and Biden being president, the way is clear for the Great Reset and the new. This is all about economics. This is not a conspiracy theory. It is a well-documented movement among many of the world's most powerful people. Now, that forum, as I mentioned last time, was unveiled at the World Economic Forum, in Davos, Switzerland. Great corporations were there. Prince Charles was there. And, of course, President Biden very much supports this movement. That's why you hear so much about Build Back Better. The Pope of the Catholic Church has endorsed this tagline, pushing for a new world order. Bill Gates, this is, folks, the fourth kingdom feat of the beast. Nations partly strong as iron, united with others, weak as clay. Who participates in this new world order? Every country, every industry. This is what Klaus Schwab said, the head of the World Economic Forum. Every country from the United States to China must participate in the Great Reset, and every industry from oil and gas to tech must be transformed. In short, he said, we need a Great Reset of capitalism. This is a new technology brought on by COVID-19 that is going to radically change the way we live and work, a fusion of our physical, our digital, and biological identities. And the new slogan, what do you think the new slogan for the One World Order is? Build Back Better. We are being conditioned, folks, for the upcoming Mark of the Beast in Revelation chapter 13, verses 16 through 17, where no one can buy or sell unless they have committed themselves to this Great Reset and received a mark. It goes on and on. I can't even begin to tell you how much more we have to explain about this, but this is a highly sophisticated economic, technological movement that will usher in a one-world government, a one-world religion, and the mark of the beast. But Jesus will return and crush this system. Remember the dream that Daniel interpreted, the stone cut out would smash this kingdom. That stone or that rock is none other than Jesus Christ, who will return at the close of this final seven-year period of the Great Tribulation to judge the living and the dead and set up his kingdom upon the earth. And the question is not how much you can understand about all of this, which I've said. The question is, are you ready? Do you know Christ as your Lord and Savior? The Bible very specifically says that the church is not appointed to the wrath of God. We will be taken out before this great period, and it's that, when that happens, then and only then can the Antichrist be revealed. He will appear first as a man of great peace, but because of the chaos caused by the rapture, he's going to try to organize all of these nations that are in panic economically and socially. What happened to these millions of people? Well, he will explain that away, and he will organize this one world government out of which everything I've told you about will take place. I'm not trying to frighten or scare anyone. I'm trying to warn you about the elements that are in place right now that will unveil this ungodly antichrist system which will come upon our planet. Problem is, there are still so many Christians so committed to social justice and reforming society that we're losing our gaze and hope upon the rapture of the church. We're so committed to trying to change everything around us. We're called to be salt and light, but only called to be salt and light, not to change all of the institutions, not to change all of the system. The rapture is coming any day. There are no signs for that, but there are signs for the second coming of Christ. You want to understand this system. You want to understand what's going on all around you to warn others. We must be vigilant to know that we have a system coming on this planet that looks very peaceful and looks very promising, but is very anti-Christian. And so I urge you today, as you listen to this broadcast, listen to it again and again. Do your own research. Pick up your Bible and begin to understand exactly what's happening all around you, and put your faith in Christ. Come to him. Confess him as Lord and Savior. Come out of the darkness into the light and know Christ as your Lord and Savior. That is the most important thing I can tell you on the broadcast today. It's not about putting together all the pieces of the puzzle. As important as that is, it's knowing Jesus as Lord and Savior. Thank you so much for joining me today on this great Bible topic. God bless you. I will see you again on the next edition of The Cross in the Desert. Have yourself an incredible week, and I will see you soon again.